Okay.
Good morning. I want to remind you that we're still needing volunteers for Awana, and if anybody's interested, to contact Ashley Bunn. And I want to remind you that there's bulletins out there with list of people in nursing homes and with illness problems. If you'd like to take one of them, it's out front there. And now we'll lead in prayer. Lord, we thank you that we could gather here to worship you. And we thank you for this nice day, and thank you for the blessings you've given us. And we pray, Lord, that this worship will be in your honor. We pray for the speaker, and we pray for the new minister coming. We pray for persecuted Christians around the world. We don't know how good we have it here, and we pray in Jesus' name, amen.
Shall we stand?
I'm
Be seated.
I think I'm mic'd up. I don't know if I, now I'm not muted. This is going to be unusual for me. Point is, John Wesley, I'll finish this thought, had a very, very high regard for something that I am personally just on fire about. I'm not retired. I am rewired. Amen? And you're going to find from my persona, whatever you want to call it, that I can do this anywhere. We don't need a fancy building. Jesus didn't have one. And I'll talk to you just briefly about some of that background and how it enters. But primitive Christianity is what drove John Wesley across the ocean on a mission to evangelize to the savage natives of Georgia. And one thing led to another. But it was primitive Christianity. He was not so much tied into or worried about everything that you had to do in formal liturgy and tradition and customs in the church, even though he was a very, very highly trained high priest in the Anglican church. Let me go back up. And so primitive Christianity is what I'm focusing on, because guess what? All Christians should focus on primitive Christianity. And what is the connecting word there? I hope I'm in around and amongst a bunch of Christians, because Christ is what it's all about. That's the word root. And I'll talk and introduce some of that concept and understanding, hopefully, as we go along. Because I'm here to talk good news. His good news, even on this Labor Day. And I do plan to talk just briefly about why we gather on Labor Day. First of all, Chuck came from a long past, and Ron was talking about Christians that are persecuted in places around this world we don't know anything about. Well, I've been there. I served for almost 23 years in the United States Army as a senior combat leader, and I have served in some of those places where, yes, I was persecuted. I've seen it demonstrated where I've been, and in one of the places in the Middle East. Do you know there is not building one? And I'm talking to these people right here. So if you want to get closer, come on up. I don't care. I know you're in your assigned seats, right? There's not that much difference between this and the Methodist church, right? We got our assigned seats. Those are signs. I've got some signs here. One identifies me as a soldier, a former soldier, soldier for life, and I'm a patriot. I believe. I heard a whoa. Where was that? All right. Well, thank you. Thank you for your service. Are you also a veteran? And what was your job? Ooh, gun bunny. I can say that because I was a duck hunter. 14 series. That's air defense. Not once in the Middle East did I ever see building one that said, this is the chapel where Pastor Jesus preached. No, he was out there in the temple courts, in the lonely places, the remote places. That's where he wants us. And I'm going to go back to referring to some of the music that I heard this morning, and remind you that in primitive Christianity, worshiping God was what it was all about. That's it. And yes, I submitted my notes. We're going to do death by PowerPoint because I got some very, very important ones to refer to. But since I submitted them, he'd been talking to me. He'd been wearing me out. And Labor Day, in his own way, not speaking special things and so forth and so on into my ears. He communicates with us by creating circumstances. You want a new car? Go pray for it. See what happens to you in order to get a new car. All right? You're going to hear this from me. You may have heard, or people know of me or have heard of me. If you didn't know me, first of all, I'll apologize in advance. But you got to be careful what you wish for, because sometimes you get it. And you want that new car, even though you got one. Do you want to risk the accident just to be able to replace it? No, we don't want that. We want to have our cake and eat it too. At any rate, I did spend a lot of time traveling this world. And as I said, I never saw one place that said, this is where Pastor Jesus preached. There's no status symbol to being able to say, I walked in his feet. We can't come close to that. But in some of the music that we heard today, I want to connect that. Primitive Christianity message is that everything that we did and do here today must be connected. Otherwise, it's just a series of disaggregated events. Oh, someone comes in and makes announcements. Then somebody lights a candle, and then somebody, we sing a song. And sometimes we don't even know the words. Well, guess what? That one song, and I hadn't heard some of those, but I'm going to introduce one a little bit later as I get ready to close my comments. Because it relates to what Elizabeth did so beautifully this morning. On God, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Yep. We're going to take you right back to the beginning of our time together. And Elizabeth's music ministry, that prayer that came out of that organ. Can we see it that way? Oh, no, that's music. That's different. The fellowship that we have the best cookies after service. You're going to love them. I'm not making fun of you. I'm not criticizing. Look at me. You can tell I like to eat. All right? So I can be the best judge out there and taste tester of cookies. I'm a cookie monster and so forth. But we use these different events and experiences in a disaggregated way. It's helpful. I get it. Not everyone learns the same way. After I retired from the Army, I had a degree in health and physical education, aquatics, and one thing led to another. I ended up relocating from El Paso, Texas, where I retired from the Army, and relocated up into this area. I transitioned into special education, alternative education, and retired from the Kenosha School District as special education case manager and transition specialist. It's real fast, I get it, but I'm on limited time, I realize that. But I'm on fire for the Lord. I could go, give me one verse, you're going to have to give me 2 hours. I won't do that to you. But that teaching experience was very, very important to me. Because there's very little difference between teaching and preaching, just a couple letters. And that caseload that I was working with, the last caseload I had, 80% were nonverbal. Some are on the autism spectrum of disorders. If anything is going to prepare you for pastoral ministry, special education most certainly will. And everybody is a special needs learner. Everybody here is a special needs worshiper. We all have different needs. Special needs students get an IEP. First day I preached, one of the first messages at Wesley, Willow, you deserve an IWP, an individual worship plan. Who's ever heard of that? Oh my gosh, who would go and talk to the pastor about, gee whiz, I really feel I need more that's relevant to me. How can you create? How can we do this or that? Possibilities. Hopefully I leave you with some thoughts of those possibilities. And before I go much further, again, that military experience was the greatest and best adventure of my life. It meant more than my master's degree. I graduated from the Sergeant Major's Academy. I was the first sergeant there. All, again, highly placed in positions you might call of great status and prestige, all this kind of good stuff. But he was with me the whole time. This sinner, after all those accolades, had to realize he was with me every step of the way because he put me there. Now, is Joy from Albany here? I don't see her. I spoke with someone who was going to attend this service, and one of the things, let me back up again. Is there anyone worshiping with us for the very first time today? Never been here before. Oh, good. So we're all club members, right? We got the secret handshake? Yeah? Yep. We all know where we're supposed to sit. All right. We've got our uniforms on. Now I want you to do something a little bit different, not right in front of me or in front of everybody else. But I want you to look at these empty seats and say, there's the first-time visitor. This is who we have to talk to. Amen? Because we're not focusing on them. If we're just focused on ourselves, what's going to bring that first-time visitor back? I promise you, with all the stuff that we do, going from song to prayer to candles to handshakes and all this other kind of stuff, they're going to light their own hair on fire just to be able to run out of here screaming. And are they going to come back? No. No, no, no. My challenge to you, as part of this experience, this is an experience. This is connection with God. We don't get anything through prayer, but a connection with God. We realize Him. We come into contact and connection with Him. That's what prayer does. It does not result in a Johnny Olson experience. Does anyone know who I'm talking about? Johnny Olson? Oh, come on now. The Price is Right. You can have a brand new car! Yeah. Oh, there's reality for a lot of people. All right, they want that Johnny Olson experience. That's not what this is about. We have this opportunity to connect with Him. And that, I hope you will take with you. And that you will also look at that person that's supposed to be sitting right here. You're not going to build the church building or this congregation. You're already there. It's these empty seats that need His word and need His example. Need that sense of connection. Need, not want. Need that sense of connection, because what they want, what most people want, will go away in an instant. The batteries run out, it gets stolen, it gets trashed. It falls out of fashion. Oh my goodness. Or it doesn't result in celebrity status. It's all temporary. My caseload taught me how to communicate. I said they were nonverbal, so I had to get better. You, imagine, 80% of the people you are confronting in this case cannot communicate with you. Now, let's go a step further. 80% of the people in front of you in another gathering, like on this weekend, when you gather for a no faith life, excuse me, NFL football game, all right, to worship all those warriors, those fine, upstanding, overindulged, drug addicted million, I mean, what am I talking about? All right? Those are the people we worship, though, on Sunday night, Thursday night, and so forth and so on. What if 80% of the people in front of you were sworn atheists? They need the attention, first of all. They don't believe that. They just want some unmet attention from a parent that's not there. So they go to a school building to take it out. Amen? Where were you without your platoon sergeant? Lost. Where was your commander without your first sergeant? So some army stuff. He was in the officers club, probably because Top kicked him out over there and said, "You go hang out with those guys. Keep them out of here. All right, we'll get business done." But if 80% of the people that you confronted in a gathering of that nature were atheists, what would you do to draw them to you, to draw them to Him? You can't convert them. He does. You may be the only Bible that atheist ever reads. Have you ever heard the statement? Preach the gospel. Often use words only if necessary. Has anyone heard that? And as a young soldier, I'm thinking back thousands of years when I was, but When someone's getting ready for a promotion board and they want to move up the chain and so forth, one of the first things we concentrate on is leadership. I wonder if you have the definition of leadership, the two-word definition of leadership. I don't mean to put you on the spot, but this is where top would have made sure. Does it come back at all? Two-word definition of leadership. By example. By example. Followed up by three other words. From the front. Not in a bunker somewhere, either on a golf course or under the White House or wherever. We don't lead from bunkers. We command from bunkers. We lead from the front by our personal example. Okay. So that lays some of the groundwork. And can you show me the image? We're going to connect all this. Oh, yeah, I haven't forgotten. Oh, no. No, I haven't forgotten. We're going to connect some of this. I just want the image, not from my first death by PowerPoint, but the image from the last, was it the last? Yes, the last song we sung. Think about his love. Can anyone see the image? There you go. Does anyone see this? Isn't that something? I thought about this when I saw that image. A couple simple nails. And that is symbolic of how simple the gospel is. It truly is. It is good news. Gospel, good news, comes from the translation of the Greek gospel, meaning good news. I don't have a fancy cross. That's right. I'm no bling-wearing pulpit pounder. Not going to happen. I'm here with the people. This is where Jesus would have been in the temple courts. I'm not comparing myself to him, but he is my example. John 13. Now to get to the props. Oh, these are really good. Oh, my goodness. Does anyone have a pen on them and they want to write some notes down if I make a reference? I don't want you taking the Pew Bible and scratching that up, but if you want some index cards, I've got some here. And it goes along with, if you want to write down this little reference for my mask. See, I think that the gospel and God's word is so beautiful in its simplicity that if I've got to wear a mask, I'm going to be the best mask wearing son of a gun out there, because no one said I couldn't evangelize. If the mask is the source of our problems, if the mouth is the source of our problems, that we got to cover it up, guess what? Someone's going to have to read something on that besides that cross. And I've got a real simple message there. Matthew 1, 2, 3, 4. Matthew 12, 34. In all the Gospels, by the way, Matt, Mark, Luke, John, there is a 12:34. Not hard to memorize. If I can, you can. Trust me. Matt 12, 34. And what does that say? What does that talk about? Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So if we've got to cover something up with these masks, maybe it's what's coming out of our mouth, which proceeds from our heart anyway. And that's where we make the greatest difference. Mark 1, 2, 3, 4 talks about the kingdom of heaven being close. And what do we have to do to get there? We've got signs all around us. So I go to the first slide. Thank you so much for allowing me to go off script. And I'll do that. Lord knows. Signs. The Apostle Paul greets us in all of his letters. To the church of the Thessalonians in Thessalonica in Greece. Walked in his footsteps when I was on the island of Crete. You sent me there to shoot missiles. Isn't that great? The island of Crete. Where would this sinner otherwise have been on the island of Crete where the Apostle Paul was shipwrecked? Didn't mean anything to me at the time, but it meant something then. The Lord put me there, and the Lord was there with me. Took me 60-some years to figure that out. Okay? But I'm not in charge of the time. I'm in charge of some results. That was the island of Crete and that part of the story. But the signs to the church of Thessalonica. In God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace and peace to you. Amen. And I'm going to add my own prayer. And you can bow your heads with me. Heavenly Father, from the apostle, from the prophet, from the psalmist David, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. That from the 19th Psalm. And every morning you wake up before you say the Lord's Prayer. First things out of your mouth for being grateful for another day, right? Nod your head, yes. I don't know about that. All right. I want to be reading that Cheerios box. All right. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O God, my rock and my redeemer, from David, King David, the friend of God. The one who, these stories, no rabbit trails here. Nope, got to keep going. Signs. The next slide will talk about Paul's faith and a theme that goes throughout Labor Day. Yes, there is a good news connection. I will make that, I promise you, because the good news comes from Jesus himself. The good news was shared by him. Thanksgiving for the Thessalonians' faith. We always thank God for all of you and continually mention you in our prayers. We remember before God and Father your work. I've underlined, I got real sharp and I underlined these. I didn't even have to tell Michelle. I figured it out. Look at these words, work, produced by faith, your labor, prompted by love, endurance, inspired by hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything refers to, in this case, today, Labor Day. Every day is Labor Day. Do you realize that? Yes, I understand the historic significance in our culture, where this was a means of recognizing the efforts and contributions of the labor movement. All right? Some of those things are time and a half on a day off, you know, federal holiday and holiday time and so forth, 40-hour work week, not having to work on weekends, the FSLA, the Fair Labor Standards Act. It was part of my master's degree. I should be able to get it out of my mouth, I suppose. But the Fair Labor Standards Act of 1932 was a result. And that talked about workplace conditions. People putting up with horrific conditions in the workplace just to get the productivity and make a contribution to the national product and so forth and so on. Be it cigar rolling under one Roosevelt or shirt making under another one. Those are the contributions and some of the considerations we make for this secular holiday. I don't even want to call it a holiday. That's a corruption of holy day. Biggest thing most people are worried about this weekend, if there are empty seats here, it's not only the first timers that maybe we did not invite and entice. That's why I asked, is anyone here for the first time? I don't want to overwhelm them with a lot of cryptic stuff that we know about, this insider secret club stuff. Come on, we want them in our club. They bring value to us. How can we get them there if all we're doing is welcoming? It's easy to welcome. I stand at the threshold. I open the door. Hope somebody trips over there, and I'm going to be real nice and friendly to them. But it takes some guts to take that welcome. I'll see your welcome and raise you an invite. Matthew 25. It's in there. I'll give you some reading assignments. I ain't going to test you. He will, though. All right? So we go a little bit further. We look at these references to work. Our work. What is the reason we do it? Where is the connection with the good news? We're going to get a little bit closer in the next slide. Click. There we go. And when I first discussed this in a Bible discussion class, because someone educated me, I said, "This is." She said, "I won't attend Bible study." I was never a good student. I said, you know what? Neither was I. You make a good point. We're just going to discuss it. You already know the answers. Oh my gosh, for the first time in her life, affirmed and validated. I know something. I'm worthy. When's the last time we did that for someone here? And now they're coming back, and they're coming back, and they're coming back. Possibilities. Possibilities. I'm not here to indict anyone. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart. And what I mentioned to people that made this simple, Colossians. What's that sound like? Has anyone ever heard of galoshes? Am I the only idiot that knows what galoshes are? My goodness. We wear galoshes when we go to the barn. That's where the real work gets done. Nobody complains about a farmer when their mouth is full, right? For your work ethic, remember your galoshes. And it's real easy to remember the third chapter. 1, 2, 3. 23rd verse. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart. As working for the Lord, this is the Apostle Paul. Not for human masters. They're not in charge of you. They're not in charge of your output. They're not in charge of your attitude. But with an attitude of love, your outcome will benefit someone else, and that benefit equates to a blessing. Can I put my mask down? I just want to make sure people got the message. Preach. And I do make reference every once in a while to this book, Purpose-Driven Life. Anyone familiar with it? Okay. Rick Warren put some powerful stuff in here. First four words in this book. That's why this is so important. It's not about you. Someone want to check me out? Direct quote. I'm not that smart, but I remember that. It's not about you. The signs are all around us. Many people are worried about or concerned about signs now. And I'm going to get into the rest of this in just a second. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Christ you are serving. Because your work is a blessing. And when you bless somebody, tells us in the book of Genesis, the blessings come back, just like Abraham. Just like Abraham. See, blessings, listen to this, write this, this is good, this is pure gospel according to CW. Blessings are a reciprocal mechanism. Reciprocal mechanism. What you give comes back. You want to focus on your bummers or your blessings? What's it going to be? We have the choice. That's that God-given ability that separates us from all the other animals. Free choice, free will, whatever you want to call it. But we have the will. We have the choice. We have the ability to be able to say, I'm going to focus on my blessings, and I'm going to share that with that neighbor. I miss them in church. They've got some really good qualities. They've just been scared or don't like the technology. Not that I don't like it. Just not as comfortable with it. I was a first sergeant in the United States Army. I can communicate over a football field if I have to. So I'll tone it down. Don't want to get a sore throat. But going a little bit further, as long as you insist and can think that your efforts are a reward from God because you are investing your time, your talent, your gifts given to you uniquely, Kat, different than everybody else, and everybody in that family right there, in their assigned seat, what's your name, please? Your last name? There are four different groups there? Okay, so there should be a pew sign out there. Four different groups, right? The family of four. Four family. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. And if you can see yourself as serving the Lord Christ, isn't that better than thinking, doggone it, this guy is just there to keep me down. Now here's how I look at the workplace. Maybe a reflection of my work ethic, and somehow this got through to me, despite all my bad choices, and despite a very unusual upbringing, whatever you want to call it. One of the best jobs I ever had in my life, I was an ocean lifeguard on Cape Cod, Massachusetts. Can you imagine how terrible a job that is? Must be. They paid this big old swimmer to go to the beach. And all I had to do, the worst thing I had to do, was pick up cigarette butts in the morning in the parking lot. Otherwise, the supervisor would come in. What you need? Band-Aids. Okay, we'll give you some Band-Aids. What else? That was it. I'm fine. I'm at the beach. I'm getting paid. Who's getting ripped off in this deal? Okay, there's a sign. We're surrounded by signs, and I'm going to be talking about them as we go into the next slide. Remember, it is the Lord you're serving. And even the guys that came up with this saying, here's your signs. Anyone remember Bill Engvall and the Blue Collar Comedy Tour and so forth and so on? Those, Larry the Cable Guy, isn't even his real name. His name isn't Larry. At any rate, they are some, with the exception of Ron White, perhaps, they are of the most deeply faithful people I've ever run into if you look into their background. Here's your sign. Are we really that discriminating when we look at some of the images and messages that are being communicated to us? How would you feel if you're a veterinarian for your little old puppy dog? You got a puppy dog? You got a puppy dog. If he said, veterinarian and taxidermy, how would you feel? Yeah, get it all done at one stop, perhaps. Now, make matters worse, we're going to go up the North Country because here it is, Labor Day. Oh, I can't go to church. Nope. Got to get the boat out of the lake. We're all a bunch of boaters, right? This is the Navy. Everyone's at the lake taking their boat out. And, of course, they can't be here Memorial Day because what? I'm sorry? Got to put the boat in the lake, right? That's the first weekend of summer. That's mine. Lord had nothing to do with that. Unfortunately, some people feel that way. Right? What if we go up to the North Country and we see that same taxidermy sign? And right underneath it, it says, and cheese. Would you want some of that? You might be thinking twice. I had another. I have another that I remember. You won't find these in books necessarily, but there was one from Cape Cod, actually two from Cape Cod. One was a big old sign, almost like that Culver's sign. And it says, let me see. Fried seafood ice cream. Boy, that sounds good. It's like when the people at Culver's forget to update the sign and the flavor of the day is corned beef hash. Boy, that's some custard I want. Amen? Yeah, I'm going to be Irish that day, right? A couple others. We're driving down the road, getting ready to go to the beach. A little old convenience store says ice cold ice. I don't know. I want some warmer ice because I want that egg salad to spoil. Yeah, I really want that emergency medical experience. Or maybe I go to the other place. I'm not going to make the sandwiches. I'm going to go to this restaurant. Eat here. Get gas. That's right on the New Hampshire-Massachusetts border. We have a farm, and my mother grew up on a farm in Temple, New Hampshire, so we spent a lot of time in New England. And so those are some of the signs that people can see on a regular basis. There's one very close. Let's just put it that way. Welcome. We want you to join us. I hate to tell you where that is, because the other side of that is, no, Jesus wants to join you. And that is the good news. Jesus came to us with news about a sign. He said, a wicked and adulterous generation looks for a sign. They can identify everything in the sky and so forth and so on. But he told us, don't worry about that. You want to read about it? Don't worry? Go to Matthew 6. Okay? I'll come up with those numbers because not everybody learns just by absorbing and memorizing words. Some people need numbers. So I'm trying to include both. This, for the first time worshiper, I'm looking at one right there. I can imagine what they look like. Is this hopeful for you? Is this message encouraging? and a blessing. I don't want an answer because I don't want you to have to stand up and stigmatize yourself in front of everybody else. But that's for all those other people. I want those folks over there to look around. You can look around. Someone else can look around. And you can imagine someone in that seat. You say, boy, they could really benefit from what has benefited and helped me. Now, the best thing I can do is be that example to them, that light, that where I go, they will be drawn. Let me make sure I'm, oh my gosh, whoa, didn't realize where we were. Jesus then left them and went away. The sign of Jonah, and what is the sign of Jonah? It is two Latin word roots that make up one word, repent. Gave the men of Jonah, excuse me, the men of Nineveh 40 days to repent. That is the only sign we have to worry about. That's good news. Because if we repent, we inherit eternal life. We inherit eternal life with him. Because he told us after that in his good news message as part of his ministry in the Galilee area, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Very good. Someone complete. Who here is a minister? Come on now. Who here is a minister? Oh no, we got a pastor for that. All right? We all are. Well, supposed to be. And what is our ministry? 2 Corinthians 5:18. You can write that down. This is a good one too. 2 Cor 5:18. Ours is a ministry of reconciliation. There's a complicated word. Reconciliation is one word that we use mostly when we think about our checkbook, right? But we forget that it's made up of three Latin root words. Re, again, go back to. Con, with. C-O-N, with. Ciliare, settlement. Resettling our accounts and our relationship with our Creator. See, the NFL didn't invent itself today. The No Faith Life, the National Football League. Someone had to bring the sun out. Someone had to offer them the opportunity to consider salvation for the life of drugs that they're living in, for example, just for their performance. Just so that they can even indirectly persecute other Christians like the Romans did back in the Colosseum. Lions, tigers, and bears, oh my. Do you think the No Faith Life does that? We got Detroit Lions, Cincinnati Bengals, and Chicago Bears. How far off are we for Sunday entertainment and who we are worshiping? Amen? I'm not saying don't go to the game and enjoy and this and that. Some of the time that I was in Texas, yes, I was a high school football coach, and it takes a culture to a different level there. So I'm not that far from it. The point is, what I've learned is God doesn't want you to sell the Harley or the snowmobile or the jet ski. He just doesn't want you to place it before him. Amen? And where does that come from? The next slide, please. The next slide. There you go. Oh my gosh. This is a legal path. And this is getting closer to a message that I'm going to close with the music. This is a legal path because this comes from the law of Moses, the book of Deuteronomy, 8th chapter, 18th verse. Dude. Eight. Who's that Deuteronomy? Who's that dude? Yeah, they got a dude in the Old Testament named Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy. All right? That means second. Deut refers to a second pronouncement. Word roots. Oh, we can't have that in school. Oh, no, they might know something. Yikes. Remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to create wealth, to produce wealth, to create those things that result in wealth for you. If it wasn't for him, don't worry. It's not going to happen. What was the evidence of him as I'm driving down here today? Bald eagle on the top of one tree. Kingfisher, belted kingfisher, overlooking the Plum River. Boy, what a beautiful day. I could have been taken out right then and there and considered it all for good. Kingfisher, just a beautiful little creature. Amazing. Sunny day out there. Someone's got something to complain about, I'll bet. And I mentioned before, it's your choice. Blessings or bummers, what are you going to focus on? And here's the other thing. Here's the good news. Eternal life. If you had all the money in the world, all the money in the world, and you were going to invest in something, this is how important eternal life is. And Jesus' message, salvation, redemption, eternal life, a relationship, an eternal, acknowledged, intentional relationship with Him. You've got all the money in the world. This is going to fly away. But it's a good bet because there's a lot of good paper in there and everything else. There's going to be some good messages on it and so forth. Who knows when it's going to wear away or fly away? This, however, in this hand, is going to last forever. Now, all you financial whiz kids and economic geniuses out there that have won the Nobel Prize, if you're going to invest in something, are you going to invest in something that's temporary? Focus on something that's temporary, transient, carnal, earthly, or something that's permanent? Eternity goes on forever. Good news. Eternity is where you put your investment, and guess what? It don't take a dime. Do you follow? Do you get that? Who can buy their way into heaven? And if you don't believe in eternity, I've got the, oh boy, do I have a twist on this. If you don't believe in eternity, you keep in mind, you bear in mind the fact that I'm a farrier at 6'4". Who knows what a farrier is? It's a horseshoer. Now, why would God make me a farrier, and at worst, for one of the Olympic teams? I was a swimming coach and so forth. There's a long story behind that. But I love horses. I was born loving horses. My father, he's in the Tennis Hall of Fame. He could never figure out why. What would anyone want to do with horses? He grew up in the Depression in Pittsburgh. Only poor people had horses. He looked down on those folks. And here's his oldest. Doesn't want to hold a tennis racket. Loves horses, though. And bird watching. Eternity is why I love horses. Because my great-great-grandfather, Sam Hodkin, not only raised horses, he raised draft horses in Temple, New Hampshire. And I love, for some inexplicable reason, not just horses, but drafters. And tomorrow, yes, I'm going to give up the draft horse pull at the Walworth County Fair. I don't want to be gathering with people. I don't know where they've been. They don't know where I've been. I'm not going to take any of this mess to them, despite the message on my mask. But that's just an example. Sometimes we have to wonder, where did all that come from? We are living in our great-grandparents' eternity. Amen? That's the truth. Who here knew their grandma? Who can remember a grandma? And what she talked with you about, maybe, as expectations, and the good that they want to come of what they do, and for you to do. That's spirit. That is eternity. John Wesley used to ask people, how is it with your soul? How is it with your spirit? Because he knew, he could look. If you had a cough, you had a physical problem. If you couldn't remember the sacraments, you had an intellectual problem. But that we can reinforce. But your spirit, that goes on forever. And that takes some time and some concentration and forbearance, patience, faithfulness. Those fruits of the Spirit come from the book of Galatians. Oh, Galatians. Real easy reference here. Where did I go to seminary? Well, I did go to a seminary, but not in the traditional, formal, graduated and ordained sense. I don't care about that. If it's good enough for Paul in Galatians 1:11, all you have to do is remember book of Galatians and the number 1. 1:11 talks about seminary. The gospel I preach, I did not learn from any man. That's paraphrasing some of it. Galatians 1:11, check me out. If I'm lying, I'm flying, I don't have wings. To produce wealth, and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your ancestors as it is today. Who here fears something? Who here fears? Don't put your hands up, because we can't admit that we've got any kind of weaknesses in front of anybody. Okay, I get that. We all have fears, but a very, very wise man of God, a Muslim imam from the 13th century named Rumi, said, your ancestors outnumber your fears. You think you've got problems? You think you've got problems? You got more ancestors with more fears than you've got. And that's truth. And those ancestors, you are living in their concept of eternity. Amen? It's the truth. No matter who wants to deny it. Atheists may want to deny it. That's okay. God made them too. Amen? They don't want to hear, oh, no. Next slide, please. Oh, now we're getting back, and I will tie this up. Yeah, there are some other slides. I think just a couple. But I want to tie this up on this because it's getting on to time and people need to get to the diner and their favorite seats and this kind of thing. And I put up with this, and it's one of the reasons I went in the direction I did. I didn't retire. I became rewired. I love doing this. I love just preaching the word. But Lord knows, when I sent my letter to the bishop, I said, I'm more interested in the Bible than bureaucracy. Guess what? Who in here thinks I got an answer? No. Didn't happen. Didn't happen. God is calling us in a different direction. This virus, if you want to call it that, and the things that we are challenged with as a culture and a society right now is a blessing. We've crossed the Red Sea if we're listening to him. Those that want to deny it, and I heard from the highest levels, oh, when this is over and we go back to normal, God doesn't go back. No. God's the most progressive around there. We're moving forward. I'm not going to go back to Egypt for pots of meat and cucumbers. No. In that part of the Bible, his people were released from bondage. And when they were in the desert, what'd they want?
Well, Moses just trying to kill us. When we were in Egypt, we had pots of meat and cucumbers and leeks and all the fish we could eat and all the beatings we could handle.
Oh, that was this. Oh, did they say that? Oh, no, we didn't remember that. Every day they were receiving a beating, they were praying, though, get us out of here. Careful what you wish for. Sometimes you get it. Remember what I said earlier? Okay. On one occasion, Luke 10, most people are going to remember this and I hope you remember it today, because easy, 10, Luke, one of the Gospels. I haven't gone too far from the Gospels. I think I've covered most of the important Old Testament stuff which supports the New Testament, that Jesus fulfilled the prophets, the law, and the Psalms. I even mentioned a Psalm. It's not even up there. Psalm 19. When the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. David, one of the Psalms, Psalm 19, on one occasion. Luke 10, though, this is what got me on a rabbit trail all week. I apologize. You were expecting different slides. They were expecting to show them. Nope, I'm going to stop at Luke 10. What is Luke 10 about? Can anyone remember? Please, make this interactive. Challenge me. Make this interactive. This is your worship service. We are worshiping the Word of God as shared, in this case, by the gospel writer, the doctor, Luke. What, for anyone who's been to Sunday school, what do we mostly find and can remember from Luke 10? It's a parable of the Good Samaritan. Very good. Very well done. Thank you. Had I a gold star, you'd... Okay. So we tend to think of the Good Samaritan, but this is a Labor Day message. And I'm going to have to go back to my seminary because I didn't make a slide for this, but I'm going to go into Luke chapter 10. I'm going to read some of it. I may even have to get some glasses. Yeah, I lost some hearing when I was in the Army. You're welcome. I also busted up a knee. I'm waiting. That's going to end up being replaced, probably. But on margin, was every day perfect? Nope. But on margin, the good outweighs the bad. I would rather focus on blessings than bummers. On one occasion, an expert in law stood up to test Jesus. They were testing him all the time. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus responded to him. Did he give him an answer? Pay me with so many beads or whatever? No. What is written in the law? He replied, how do you read it? See, you are called. You right there are called. Who answered Good Samaritan? Who had the answer? Was it you, sir? Oh, you, okay. You are called. If you read 2 Corinthians 5:18, you realize we are pastors. We are ministers of reconciliation. We are called. You don't have to go to seminary to be called. You don't have to get ordained to be called. You don't have to be the bishop to be called. All you have to do is listen to that little quiet voice like Isaiah 6:8. There is an explanation. There's an example of call. And if you want a woman, one of the ones that I responded in my letter of statement of call that I submitted to go into this line of work, Luke 1:38, a little girl by the name of Mary said, may it be to me as you have said. That's call. That is stepping up. That is good news. That was the good news, earthly mother. Amen? Do we see the good news connection? All right. He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and all your mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. You have answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this and you will live. Do this and you will inherit eternal life. Good news. What does that have to do with Labor Day? I finish it here because I couldn't put the slide up. I'm going to continue. He told them, actually, this is before that, at the beginning of chapter 10, he sent the 72 out by themselves or ahead of him into every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Right. Ask the Lord of the harvest, however, to send out workers into his harvest field. Do you think that's a call to labor? Do you think that that is an order? That we got work to do. Amen. And when we do it as for the Lord and not men, we will be blessed. That is the good news. And the good news comes after. Repent. 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 The kingdom of God is at hand. It is as close as your hand, in other words. That's what that's saying. I apologize for that little trip down Luke 10, but I'm going to finish up because if I mentioned Luke 10 and didn't say something about the Good Samaritan, I'm going to finish with the Good Samaritan. If we can go back to that, if there is a slide that finishes it up. Because I mentioned the one before that, you are loved. Yes, at any rate, again, you are called, and it was... Again, I go back to the other slide, which mentioned another part of prophecy, the Old Testament. I finish this up as he finished. You see, Jesus didn't directly quote one of the prophets here. He has in the past, Isaiah 29 especially. Oh, this generation, they worship me with their mouths, but their hearts are far from me. Rites. They're more interested in their traditions. Temples built by human hands, all that other stuff. He finishes up. Who is my neighbor? This wise man is testing him. Then he goes through the parable, describing what happened to the man on the way to Jericho. He says the next day, well, at any rate, he's explaining everything that he had done. And Jesus challenges this expert in the law, which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? The expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy, mercy on him. Jesus simply said, go and do likewise. No spin the dice, no 200 bucks, then you go forward. Go and do likewise. And where does that come from? Does anyone know what God requires of you, Kat, of you, ma'am, of you guys, right there? What does God require of us? Micah 6:8 tells us, very simply, act justly. Love mercy and walk humbly with your God. It's okay, you can say it. Very simple. Can you do those three things? I bet you can. I know you can because you're here now and want to know more about it. Walk humbly with your God, and I'm going to finish with a song that I want you to listen to. I think the lyrics will come up. It was written at a time, and I was a pretty athletic guy. And you can tell I'm humbling and bumbling and stumbling around with a bad knee and so forth. And some of the very things that we take for granted, we miss the most. I want to play a song for you that was written about the same time as Kris Kristofferson wrote a gospel tune called Why Me, Lord. Does everyone remember Why Me, Lord? Kris Kristofferson, one of the big old bad guys and bandits and all that kind of good stuff. Well, there was a gentleman by the name of Croft, a gospel writer in Florida, who wrote a song called I Can't Even Walk Without You Holding My Hand. And the lyrics, I think, speak to everyone right here. Can we bring that up, please? Southern Gospel Revival. Well, we don't have sound. I thought number one would... Oh.
Thought number one would always be me.
Come on, is that you?
Thought I'd be what I wanted to be.
This is not downtown Chicago. This is country. It's okay.
Life's sinking.
Anyone heard this? Who wants to walk humbly with their God? Who can? You can only do it when He's holding your hand. Listen to the harmony. Listen to the dedication and commitment of these musicians. These instrumentalists. If you haven't heard, you can't sing along, but enjoy it. Let it fill you. This is prayer, according to me. talking about life sinking sand. Did anyone hear that today when they came into this building and Miss Elizabeth was playing it as the opening hymn? It's connected, folks. I didn't make that plan. I didn't know what she was going to do. These people, by the way, are huge in Austin, Texas. Austin City Limits culture. On his name I'll call. I will call. Amen? Thank you. That meets this sinner's individual worship plan. Yes, I've cried to that. Our worship director, we were looking for music one week. He was astounded when he got in touch with me. We were listening to Southern Gospel Revival at the same time, him on his computer miles away. And we said, well, guess what we're going to? We found the music for that week's service. You can't buy that CD. You have to download everything off of YouTube. It's all old gospel stuff in a way that some people, when they comment, you read the comments on YouTube, I saw this, imagine this. This is the best they could come up with. What's with the beards? I think Jesus would take exception to that. Amen? Unless there are any other announcements. Pardon me? Oh. Oh my. Oh, a boat accident. Oh my gosh. I apologize for bringing that. That's a Labor Day, I guess, focus. My goodness. And where was that located? Lake Carroll or somewhere? Oh, on the Mississippi. Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay. And you're a responder now? Okay, well, thank you for your service again. Let's keep the those folks that are suffering at this time. Let's just bow our heads, and I will offer prayer and closing remarks. Lord God, thank you for this opportunity, and thank you for the patience of the good people, Mount Carmel Church of God, for allowing me to go on and be able to share your word through me. Continue to anoint this gathering. Continue to encourage and uplift others in our example with the outpouring of your Holy Spirit as we walk, holding your hand, knowing that things are not going to be easy all the time. We're not guaranteed a free ride, trouble-free. John 16 tells us that. The world will not be without trouble, but I have overcome the world. We thank you for for the inspiration and example of your good news, for his leadership example, that the greatest among us is a servant. Again, from the Gospel of John, the 13th chapter, who set the example for us that we are called. We thank you for our call to be disciples, to disciple others by our example. And that in doing so, we don't simply keep the faith. Don't keep the faith. Share it. Amen. Thank you very much.